This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 8:39. Good morning. It's Idaho Talks Live. And I am Chris Walton, and you are Paul J. Schneider.
Howdy.
I wanted to mention this very quickly. Fans of Tom Petty have launched a petition to erect a statue of the late rocker in his birthplace, which is Gainesville, Florida.
I like Tom Petty. He was low-key. He could just sing the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
His songs meant something. He loved rock and roll. He loved iconic singers.
Yeah.
Like all of the people in the Wilburys. I just think he was sensational.
Several years ago, apparently, he was in an interview, and they asked him what he would like his epitaph to say.
I love this.
And he said he really liked rock and roll.
That's it.
I think that's cool.
Yep.
The petition states Tom Petty was the classic American songwriter and deserves a statue built in his honor in his birthplace of Gainesville. His tragic death at the age of 66 following his triumphant final U.S. tour has his fans in shock. This would be an appropriate way to celebrate and memorialize the influential Rock and Roll Hall of Fame musician. So there you go.
Yeah. It'd be something to have a job where you performed.
Yeah.
And, you know, people could note that they were there for your last show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's spooky.
They're making not a lot of changes, but they're tweaking things. They have been all week in Las Vegas just to be a little sensitive to the shooting that occurred on Sunday night. And in Hollywood as well, they had a couple of movies that had a lot of gunfire and things in them, and they decided to curtail the premieres of those movies until a later week.
What was it, Blade Runner? And there was one other one.
And let's see, Netflix and Marvel have decided to pull Marvel's The Punisher from the New York Comic Con following the Las Vegas shooting. The upcoming series was going to have a panel at New York Comic Con this Saturday. A premiere date for the series has not been announced yet, but apparently it even has enough gunfire that they thought just it would be a bad idea. Of course, at a Comic Con, there are bound to be, you know, a whole lot of action movie people and comic book characters and all sorts of stuff like that. So I don't know how they can take care of everything. All 5 former presidents that are alive, former presidents, are going to participate in a hurricane relief concert, which for some reason is going to be held at Texas A&M. I thought maybe they'd hold it like in Houston or in Miami, but Texas A&M is, you know, it's north of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess close enough.
Yep.
But all 5 living former presidents will participate in a hurricane relief concert at Texas A&M's Reed Arena on October 21st. George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama will be featured at the concert. Lee Greenwood will MC the event called Deep from the Heart, the One America Appeal. And on the bill are Alabama, the Gatlin brothers, Lyle Lovett, Robert Earl Keane, Sam Moore of Sam and Dave, Yolanda Adams, Cassidy Pope, and Stephanie Quayle. So, should be fun.
Yep.
Yeah. So there will be some concerts that will go on. Now, yesterday we talked about
Yesterday we talked about the fact that
in Austin, Texas, where they have the big Austin City Limits Festival.
And
your daughter even had tickets to that.
Yep.
And they announced that if you had tickets and you did not want to go because of the shooting at the other country festival, that they would refund your tickets. Yep. And Austin City Limits is not just country. It's like Jay-Z and stuff
like
that.
Very, very few country bands.
Yeah, actually very eclectic.
Yeah.
So.
She read me off the.
The people that are going to be there?
Yeah, and I went, wow.
Yeah.
And you could tell by the names of the groups, they weren't country.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, this is kind of what I wanted to get to. We'll go to traffic here in just a minute, but I want to introduce this. Authorities trying to piece together the final days before Stephen Paddock unleashed his arsenal of powerful firearms on country music fans on the Las Vegas Strip have at least one potential trove of information, and that is his gambling habits. Now, I wouldn't see necessarily any connection, you know, unless the guy was despondent over losing all his money, which apparently was not the case. But Nevada gambling regulators,
lost a lot, though.
Yeah, Nevada gambling regulators say they're sorting through documents for clues about him and his girlfriend Mary Lou Danley. Those can include suspicious transaction or currency reports, as well as information from a player's rewards card, which the casinos use to track their gambling and offer perks. And he apparently was at the top level of people at Caesar's Palace, at least.
What do they call them? Whales?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that right?
Well, and those are the people, like from New York, they have whales that they're rich people that love to gamble, and they fly them in for free, put them up in a suite for free, and basically give them anything they want from the...
Yep.
Because
they know they'll gamble hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah, from the gift shop, and they don't usually win, as is the case with most gamblers. Paddock's brother has described Paddock as a high-stakes video poker player who was routinely comped rooms, meals, and drinks at casinos. He was a substantial gambler. It was a job to him, Eric Paddock said. Paddock said that his brother wasn't insane or crazy, which is up for debate now, and described him as a highly intelligent and successful person. He said it was fun to be friends with his brother because he was a rich guy who hung out in casino hotels but didn't have a lot of friends. He called him an independently wealthy man who basically gambled for a living.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Rush Limbaugh just on that promo said that thing that we always say this after every, you know, big tragedy. People start talking about, well, we need to make a law about this and that. We say, well, number one, it's already against the law to murder people.
What law would you make that would supersede that?
Well, I don't know. This is something that just came out yesterday. As many of us, of course, are working to make sense of this, you know, shooting, we can now at least report that Stephen Paddock had been prescribed an anti-anxiety medication. Now, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, it is diazepam, which is Valium. I mean, and Valium has been around a long time. However, Valium does have some side effects, depending upon how much you've used it. Now, he may have been taking a lot of Valium. I don't know. And, of course, they'll do an autopsy and figure out what was inside his system. But diazepam, first marketed as Valium, I'm just reading off the encyclopedia now, is a medication of the benzodiazepine family that typically produces a calming effect. It is commonly used to treat a range of conditions, including anxiety, alcohol withdrawal syndrome, benzodiazepine withdrawal syndrome, muscle spasms, seizures, trouble sleeping, and restless leg syndrome. It may also be used to cause memory loss during certain medical procedures. It can be taken by mouth, inserted into, you know, other places, injected into a muscle, or injected into a vein. When given into a vein, effects begin in 1 to 5 minutes and last up to an hour. By mouth, effects may take 40 minutes to begin. Now, common...
They did my heart thing.
Yeah.
Where they went in through my wrist and went in through my wrist and then up through my heart.
Yeah.
They gave me diazepam and what's the pink pill? That's it's a pill for allergies. Benzedril.
Oh, Benadryl. Yeah.
Benadryl.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Valium and Benadryl.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And it doesn't.
Well, it's an interesting combination.
It doesn't really knock you out. You just sit there while they're working on you. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I'd like a milkshake. What? Oh, you're busy?
Yeah, like when I got operated on, of course, you know, they gave me a shot. And then the last thing I remember is the doctor saying, hi, I'm... And then the next thing I knew, I was waking up and Debbie was looking at me.
I remember going in for a procedure when I was young.
Yeah.
The guy goes, count from 100 backwards. I think I got the 97.
Yeah.
100.
I made it to
99, 98.
Exactly.
Mm.
Now, common side effects include sleepiness and trouble with coordination. Serious side effects are rare. However, they include suicide.
Wanting to kill large numbers of people.
Which the guy ultimately did commit. Decreased breathing and an increased risk of seizures if used too frequently in those with epilepsy. Now, occasionally excitement or agitation may occur. Agitation. Long-term use can result in tolerance, dependence, and withdrawal symptoms on the dose reduction.
That's funny. Agitation, when the drug is prescribed to get rid of agitation.
Well, yeah, essentially. That's one thing that's always strange about any kind of anti-anxiety drug. Abrupt stopping after long-term use can be potentially dangerous.
Right.
After stopping, cognitive problems may persist for 6 months or longer, which means you think more slowly. It is not recommended during pregnancy or breastfeeding. Its mechanism of action is by increasing the effect of the neurotransmitter gamma-aminobutyric acid, which may be pronounced differently than that. Now,
sounds good to me.
It's Valium, though. But
sure.
Most of us have known about Valium a long time.
Yeah.
And they used to call them tranquilizers.
It's a joke drug. You know,
well, kind of, yeah.
A lot of jokes.
What's the movie Beetlejuice, where he can't wake up the woman because the girl says, you're not going to wake her up. She's sleeping with Prince Valium tonight.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But here we have a guy who, opened fire with high-powered weapons on a crowd, and so you're looking at every possibility of what might have gone wrong, and we don't even know if he took Valium. We just know that he had a prescription for it last spring.
Well, we'll find out.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Blood.
They're finding out something new every day, but
yeah. And now
most of it hasn't had a whole lot of sense about it.
They're bumping up the search for a helper.
Just in case.
May have been in there earlier.
Yeah.
It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time 9:07. Paul J. and Chris on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, tomorrow evening, we have the Boise State football game against the Brigham Young University Cougars.
Which is in Provo.
Cougars.
Now, if you're not actually making the trip, we are having a watch party at the Village in Meridian at the theater there.
Let's give away 2 4-packs to the watch party. Only stipulation, gotta be 18. Have to be 18 years old. Okay.
Or older than that.
Or older. Callers number 6 and caller number 7 at 336. That's 208-336-3711.
Yes, exactly. 3711.
Mm-hmm.
And caller number 6 and 7 will give each of you a 4-pack to our watch party, which is tomorrow evening.
Got to be 18.
And I will be there if that...
Chris will be there.
I mean, show up anyway.
Giving away $100 bills.
It should still be fun. No, I won't be giving away $100
bills.
Oh,
you won't?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not unless somebody gives me a stack of $100 bills to give away.
You wouldn't give them away then.
But I'm thinking the chances of that happening are...
One for me.
In big round single digits at this moment.
None for you.
Right.
4 for me.
Yeah, well, that
one
also would
you.
Be cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of one for you, one for me.
Yeah.
That's a fairly good segue into what I want to talk about now.
Okay.
Establishing a relationship with patrons,
okay.
Say, of a restaurant or a bar or a restaurant with a bar.
So important.
Yeah. Goes a long way toward getting a bigger tip, according to a study that looked at the connection between non-service interactions between waitstaff and customers and the size of a gratuity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned, and we discussed this a little bit during the commercial, and you mentioned that you have a pretty much set... You have a set
20%.
Yeah, you have a set 20% that you tip, And, you know, that's regardless of what happens, you just flat out give the 20%.
And there's a reason for that, and that reason is my sons both worked in the food service industry. Well,
there you go. And so you have a bit of empathy.
Now, if I get crappy service, Chris,
yeah,
I don't tip.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that will, or tip very little.
Okay.
So I will let the service, I mean, I will let them determine.
Now, I probably still do. It might be reduced down to 15%. But, and of course, and you know my reason for that.
Well, it depends on how heinous it is.
I am going to be extremely polite to anybody that sees what I'm going to eat before I see it.
But they don't know your tip till after
you're done. Well, that's a good point. But, you know, I might be back next time and they might still be here. On the other hand, if you receive...
Why would you go back to a place with bad service?
Well, you might have a coupon.
I love you, man.
Well, I would.
That
I would,
is so awesome.
I would like to pretend that's not my real
it's
answer.
It's America.
Yeah, I would like.
It's America.
Like I said, I would like to pretend I have a different reason for that, but I don't. I'll go any place with a coupon.
I got the coupon.
Exactly.
I will be back. All right, we do have our winners, our watch party winners.
Right.
We got more to give away this afternoon and tomorrow.
Okay. So, anyway. Researchers investigating the logic of tipping analyzed why restaurant patrons might be motivated to tip more.
Okay.
It made sense that regulars at a particular restaurant might give higher tips to the waitstaff since they were sure to see them again and want continued good service in the future. Now, that makes sense. Like I said, I might be back. But the question was, what motivates someone to tip more when they have no continuing relationship with the server? For instance, they're passing through town and stop to eat.
Great food, good service, good ambiance,
yeah.
A great time. Makes you feel, if you feel good after a big meal, you're going to tip.
Okay.
Or I am. I don't know.
Assuming you're not flat broke at that point.
True.
Now, I noticed you had several sentences in there that used either the word good or great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it. I mean, if you feel good, if you feel great. You feel good and great, and you like to do good and great things. But the question was, what motivates someone to tip if they really have no relationship at all, or at least no continuing relationship?
Mm-hmm.
In one experiment, restaurant servers found that if they gave pieces of chocolate to dining parties after the meal, their tip increased from the normal 15% to at least 18%, or an average of 18%. Researchers concluded, and there are some places that will do that, like they'll bring you around a little mint or chocolate or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which ones they are, but I know that they do exist.
I've had them comp me desserts and all kinds of stuff before.
Researchers concluded that reciprocity, the motivation to return the good deed of the gift of chocolate, no matter how minimal, by tipping more, was the likely explanation. Somebody has done something above and beyond for me, some sort of favor, they have given me something, so I will reciprocate in some way.
Sure.
And the quickest way to do it is to tip well.
Yep.
Other experiments found that if a server writes thank you on the dinner check, tips go up 2 percentage points. If he or she writes something about nice weather, the increase is 4 points. If a female server touches a customer's hand, the increase in tips is 5 percentage points. That theme doesn't continue, by the way.
Yeah.
And a server introduced
other body parts.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah. Okay.
And a server introducing herself or himself by name leads to a gain of 8 percentage points in tips, the Washington Post reported.
How about these guys that like tip them a semester at college and stuff?
Yeah. Well,
we get those stories the time.
Those are kind of usually known as reasonably wealthy people or people who, you know, like to spread it around or show off or whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter what the motivation is if somebody's giving me a gift.
Yeah.
Well, okay, apart from condos.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, but apart from that, okay, anyway, timeshares. Right. Sorry about that, if you are a timeshare person. Anyway, okay, here are our numbers to call. 208-336-3700. That's the local number, 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-KBOY, 1-800-529-5264. But I would like to hear from people who have worked in the food industry who have worked for tips.
Oh, yeah, biggest one you got.
I would also like to hear people who do go out to eat frequently and do tip. And I guess what I'd like to know from those people, number one, is there something special that you do as a server or a person at the restaurant? that would ensure, or that you think gets you larger gratuities from people? Or if you are the diner, is there something that someone will do that you just find yourself tipping more and you're not entirely sure why? Or you maybe could be exactly sure why.
Yeah.
336 or 208-336-3700. That's our local number to call. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back with your calls after this.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
The psychology of the gratuity.
Speaking of gratuities, KBOI rewards code is TIP. T-I-P.
Mm-hmm.
Go to 670KBOI.com, enter TIP, and earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Okie doke.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Walton.
Yes. Do we have a caller? We do.
Yes.
Okay, then why don't we go to individual?
Pat.
Okay.
Of Sand Hollow. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I started out waiting tables at JB's and the old Karcher JB's, where now it's Jalapenos. And then I moved to Palm Springs in the early 80s. Got tired of the winters being laid off and being laid off for a long period of time. So I moved to Palm Springs for just the winter and stayed there 11 years.
Wow.
and I waited in the high-end industry. And I also waited at regular diners, you know, like a JB's.
Sure.
Down there. And so a lot of tourists, as you can imagine, a lot of tourists. And I probably always averaged 25%, but I was taught service. Service is the key. Not just take the order, run down, drop the food off, and take off.
Yeah.
You engage the customer as best you can while they're there. As busy as you are, you still want to thank them and welcome them to your area. I hope they've seen a lot of things. Where have they been? You know, we had the aerial tramway down in Palm Springs, and what golf courses have you been on, and what are you, how long are you here for? And people like to be known. It's like that old show Cheers. A lot of young people don't know what Cheers is.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to go where everybody knows their name.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be recognized.
That's a really good point.
Because making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
Right.
Yeah.
I never dropped off mints or anything like that, but I engaged them on a personal level. I looked them eye to eye. I wasn't always in a hurry to get to my next customer, or I wasn't in a hurry to make them get off that table.
Right.
Hey, you're done eating. Get out of here. I want another down. You know, I never rushed them, but I also never spent a lot of time in the back room eating or grazing or chit-chatting with other coworkers. I was out there to take care of my customers. To serve my customers. My customers could always find me. You know, I hated it when I hate going out to eat and I'm looking for my waiter. Where'd they go? I need a drink. I need something. And you're looking around going, where are they?
And tumbleweeds are going past your table.
Yeah, and food servers drop off food. Now they have runners. And restaurants have done it to themselves because, one, they don't take time to train their servers anymore on service and to know their menu. And they don't, and then they send runners out to take food. Well, you want to get it hot. Well, but they just drop it off and leave.
Yeah.
They never ask if you need, hey, do you need steak sauce? Do you need a knife? What else can I get you? You know, and then they, and the other thing I did that my customers always recognize is when I saw other tables need something, like a bottle of ketchup, another ashtray back in the days without smoking.
Yep.
I helped other tables out, which also boosted theirs. But my customers always saw that. Because they saw that I was willing to serve, help others. So they just don't teach service anymore. They don't teach how to ask a customer, hey, welcome to our restaurant. Where are you coming from? You know, I literally got cards and letters from customers that had gone back to where they live, sent to my restaurant saying, man, we had a great time.
Now, Pat, Pat, were you specifically taught those things, or is that just you?
I was taught similar things about service, staying around long enough to make sure the customer has everything they need. My personality finally came out, and because I was really shy. I was a cook for many years, and so it was just easy to stay behind that griddle and cook and not really engage anybody. But it helped me come out of my shell as far as not just a talker, but someone to really take an interest. I mean, I seriously took an interest in people. I got to know their names. I got to remember their orders for the next time they came in. Hey, you going to have that same this and this again?
Yeah.
You know, and I got to the point where I could take up to 10 people's orders without writing it down.
Nice.
Oh, that is good.
And when you could do that, that shows you have a real interest in that customer, and you can engage them. They come out for a reason. They want to have fun. They want to have good service. They want to have good food. They will come for the food initially, but if the service sucks, you won't see them again.
Mm, that's true.
And I had one table once, 10 people, 10 young guys, young people, younger than me. I took the order. It was a Red Robin. So it's kind of easy order. So I took the order off. They were going, "You're not going to write this down?" I said, "Nope." So they all moved places and sat in different places because that was what I was taught with. Remember where they sat and what order they ordered and blah, blah, blah. So when they sat down, I didn't say a word. I brought their tray. I started dropping their food off exactly where they were. I didn't auction off their food. Who's got this? Who's got this? I just knew who had what, dropped it off. And everybody's there going, "Wow." And I get the biggest tips. I always average 25% or more.
Wow.
And the other thing is key, just bring them back their money. Don't ask if they need change. Don't ask them, just go get their money, cash it out right away, drop it off. Make sure you break it down so they can give you the better tip, not just get big bills.
Yeah, I like that too.
You know, I don't, and so when you do that, when you take care of the customer and be efficient, they come back, and then when they come back and you remember what they had, that's fantastic. And I wasn't a great-looking guy. You know, I played rugby, so I was physically fit. But there were much better-looking women than me, and I always made more money than they did.
All right, Pat, thank you so much for the call.
Great call.
Good information. We'll go to the news. It's 9:26.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Yeah. 9:36.
Yeah. Strange music.
We're talking about tipping and the psychology of tipping in restaurants. And I asked for calls from people who have been in who have been restaurant workers in particular, maybe waiters or waitresses or servers or whatever they called them where you worked. Bringers of food.
Yep.
All right. Takers of orders.
Yeah. 208-336-3700. Let me ask you a question. Do you tip the mailman? A lot of people give their mailman Christmas presents.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Do you do that?
No, we don't generally have the same one.
I mean, we show his mail in a vacant
lot. The amount of mail we actually get in the mailbox is not a great deal anymore. But there's a list somewhere. I mean, you'll find these on etiquette websites and stuff like that, or in books of etiquette. Of who you are supposed to tip and who you are not necessarily required to tip. I do tip the barber.
Lawnmower?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Do you have somebody clean your house?
No.
I'm just trying to think who else you'd tip. People at the airport, that kind of stuff.
Well, like if you are at a resort or something.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody's always handling your bags, I think there's a rule that you give them $1 per bag. Like, if they carry in 4 bags, give them $4. Or you can give them a 5 and say, hey, you know, keep the extra buck or whatever.
Go to Bali.
Yeah. If you go to a roadside motel, then you probably won't end up tipping anybody.
Yeah.
Chances are.
It's weird.
But if you have been in the... if you have been in that restaurant industry, or if you just like to go out to eat, I mean, do you have a rule about tipping? Where do you always tip 15%? Do you always tip 10%, 20%? Are you a big tipper? Or does it only depend on the service you get? Or do you have a rule like I do, which is you get nervous about the people who see your food before you do, so you want to make sure you can trust them as much as possible?
Do you tip at funerals?
No.
Show your ears.
I can definitely tell you I do not tip at funerals.
Weddings.
Who do you tip at a wedding?
One that shows you to your seat.
Oh, No, I don't.
Huh?
You mean the usher?
These people got up early and combed their hair.
The usher slash friend of the groom.
Tip the bride.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Tip somebody if you wanted to.
Well, true.
Find somebody in there to tip. Hey, flower girl.
I like that psychology thing about it, though. It's kind of interesting, I think, that they have, like mood, for instance, can affect your tipping in other situations.
Absolutely.
Studies found that cab drivers get lower tips on overcast days because cloudy skies dampen people's moods.
We were in Chicago once.
And although payment screens with higher percentage suggested tips might get cab drivers more money, there is a limit. Riders also are more likely not to tip at all if they think that the suggested amount is too much, which makes them crabby.
Mm-hmm. We were in Chicago once, and we were borderline making the kickoff at Soldier Field.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
You
want to see the Chicago Bears?
We got this guy. This cab driver had the hat, had the cigar,
right.
Had the whole, he was your Hollywood cab driver. And this guy drove up back alleys and across lawns. And I mean, it was absolutely incredible and got us there before kickoff.
Wow.
Gave him a big tip.
Yeah.
Big tip.
I was in, I've been
amazing.
I've been to New York 2 times and got a ride to the airport twice. And the one guy was like that. He did the same thing. I mean, he cut through a parking lot at one point, and he said, "I'm going to get you there as fast." And we weren't late for our flight. I mean, we were probably 3 hours ahead because that's what we do. But
just showing off.
Well, no, just making sure we don't miss it.
Because
if there's one thing that, let's put it this way. Waiting in an airport for 6 hours hoping that you might get on a flight is not the worst thing in the world, but it's also not the best.
No.
Right, so I do. So I do try to avoid it.
Yeah.
Now, some places like Denver, Minneapolis, they have wonderful restaurants and whatnot. But if you weren't planning on spending anything, that could be a problem. Anyway, this one time, then this guy just cut through everything to get there, and I tipped him quite well. And the second time we went through Pennsylvania to get there or something. I know we went through Harlem.
Yeah, he was racking up the miles, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I still tipped him too, but it was a completely different experience.
Yeah, I probably would be in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we got to take a break here in a minute. The University of Nevada, Las Vegas football team from the Mountain West is honoring the victims of Sunday's mass shootings by wearing Las Vegas ribbon decals on their helmets instead of the team logo.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of funky looking.
Hmm.
UNLV was
campus. I understand. Campus. I mean, they are the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, so that makes sense.
Campus is just a few miles from where the attack took place. Said the team will wear the special helmets for the remainder of the season. And then they tweeted a picture of the helmet, which is pretty spiffy.
All right. KBOI News Time is 9:43. We will take a break and be right back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Well, Curtis says, one of the worst experiences I've ever had, and I won't mention the name of the restaurant, but it's one right here in Boise. A couple of weeks ago, I had to wait 15 minutes for a server to approach, then had to wait for the drinks, and the food took a long time, and then was far below par. He got a 12% gratuity from me. See, he still tipped. And he says, "I don't think there's anything wrong with that, plus I'll never go back."
That's the killer right there.
Yeah, not ever being a repeat customer because of what happened to you. Bob of Boise. Now we talked about the guy.
If the service, if I have left before when nobody's come to take my order, I have left and went. I got like a 10-minute burn, and if nobody stops by and pours me a glass of water in 10 minutes, I'm gone.
Yeah, and then there are some people who would just call attention to themselves. Hey,
garçon, L'addition.
I've been alone here for 1 minute and 45 seconds. Well, and we were talking about, you know, you tipped generously the guy that got you to Soldier Field on time for the kickoff, mm-hmm. and I tipped, well, the guy who got me to LaGuardia in a big hurry. And Bob Boise says, so you guys are saying you tip more if they break the law. Well,
yes.
It probably depends on which law
yes,
they break,
do.
I suppose. Yeah. And like I said a guy cut through a parking lot, a very small one, to get us where we were going. And yeah, I suppose
that's
breaking the law. So yes, I guess
little side street.
Bob, I think you have pointed out something very valuable to us, which is we shouldn't tip more if someone breaks the law. However, I think we did. Now, had he stopped and robbed had he stopped and robbed a gas station, I wouldn't have tipped him at all. Julia Boyce, he says, as a frequenter of restaurants, I don't care for a waiter or waitress who interrupts my meal by wanting to engage me.
True.
This is just the opposite of what
there's a fine line.
We said
I agree.
The waiter waitress that asks me once or twice if everything is all right, do I need anything, and then leaves me alone gets the biggest tip. Now, that was the opposite of the psychology.
That's better than, I like your brooch. Where did you get it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And David Boyce,
how long have you been married?
Writes, and he says, I tip generously if I get good food and service.
Yeah.
And that makes sense.
And never join. And another thing that bugs me is when they join in on your conversation. You're talking about something, and they'll offer an opinion.
Yeah.
Whoa, who was talking to you here?
Well, unless you were talking to them, you know.
Well, different.
So there are different situations, obviously. There are different situations and in different restaurants, depending on where you go. Like, let's say that you go to Hooters. The waitress, we don't have one here anymore, but they still exist. And the waitress at Hooters is going to come over and touch the guy on the arm and be very snuggly, if nothing
friendly.
Else. Yeah, be very friendly, and that's kind of what they do. On the other hand, there are some places where, you know, they try to be as inconspicuous as possible. And Curtis Saboise says, you can tip me. I'm a faithful listener. Yeah, again, that's
I like it.
It's a good idea. But it seems like there are just some situations where you don't. Now, we have this all the time where there are stories where, you know, there's a struggling waiter or a struggling waitress or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get $1,000 tip from somebody,
or
somebody orders a meal, and the whole ticket comes to $40, and they tip $500. Greg Rubar was a waiter at D'Amico's Italian Market Cafe in Houston for 16 years. He had been regularly waiting on one particular couple at the restaurant for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
When one day the customers handed him $50 bills, which is $5,000. The man told Greg, I'm not going to be giving you a tip for a while. Take this money and go buy yourself a car. The instructions to buy a car were not just random. The couple knew that Greg recently had lost his car when it was flooded. It's Houston, after all.
Yes.
And in fact, the waiter had to take taxis and borrow his restaurant's catering truck just to get to and from work. Greg tried to return the money to the couple. He just felt, you know, kind of guilty about taking $5,000. But they refused and insisted that he get a car with the cash that they had given him. And then occasionally we have other stories where people simply, my mother, when she was, it was either high school or college, I'm not sure which, but she got asked out on a date, and they went out to dinner, and the guy got a bunch of pennies in change, and then he put one penny under everything that was on the table. And then he stopped and looked in the window.
And
well, I don't think she went out with him again.
One penny.
Let's put it this way. It's not my dad.
Okay.
but he put a penny under he put a penny under each water glass, and he put a penny under the spoon and under the plate, you know, and under.
That's an insult. Penny tips are insults.
Well, it wasn't a penny tip. It turned out to be, considerably more because there were so many items on the table. And it also was the 1950s.
Well, that.
So, you know, he wasn't.
That's a lot to do.
He wasn't going to give somebody $10 at that point.
Yeah, I think that would chap me a little bit.
Probably. Oh. But, you know, he just did it so he could look in the window and watch him clear the table, and he thought it was really funny.
Oh, thank you for the 27 cents.
My mother was less enchanted by this.
Yeah.
A $500 tip. Aaron Collins says he always felt sympathetic toward those who worked in the service industry after working in a pizzeria. Now, this is, and you said this because your sons worked in the food industry, and David Allen would always say that he had worked at Pizza Hut and a couple other places when he was younger, and so, you know, he always tipped well because of that. And that tends to be the case, that the servers who have worked in the industry, because and you're allowed to, if you have a restaurant, you are allowed to pay your people considerably less than the minimum wage because they are expected to get tips. And if they do not get them, then they simply kind of get stiffed on wages.
Yeah, it's like $2-3.
Yeah, something of that nature.
In some places.
And like I said, I mean, there have been some people who explain, hey, you know, you should tip them because they don't make very much money. And the guy says, that's not, you know, how is that my fault? That's the system they set up, not the one I set up.
They're working here. They got this job. You know, I didn't.
Well, that's kind of the crabby person's way of saying it. Exactly. Yeah. But he added a stipulation to his will. He asked his family to leave a $500 tip at a restaurant. That was it. He unexpectedly died. He happened to have a will already. He was 30 years old.
Whoa.
This just happened earlier this year, actually. And because he didn't leave any money to his relatives to complete his last wish, his brother put up a website to collect donations so they could leave the $500 tip. And he explained, you know, we don't have very much money. We haven't got $500 we can spare, but my brother put this in his will that he would like us to leave a $500 tip, and they ended up getting more than $500. And actually, they've given away now $22,000 in tips because they keep giving $500 tips to as many people as possible. It's up to 44.
Good job.
All right.
Good job. Well, that'll do it. Tomorrow's an open phones Friday. You can just bring your money by in a big cart.
You don't tip your radio announcer.
You don't?
No.
Crap.
See you tomorrow.